Well, you know, I really feel like God gave me a word to speak to you guys today. Now, not to make anyone sad or anything, but the clock is ticking in the sense that Pastor Andy and I, you know about our transition, that we are handing our pastoral jobs over, and we are God is transitioning us into new ministry, and we will be in and amongst you. You will see us, but we will no longer be the pastors here. And yes, that makes me sad. But so these are amongst the last words. These aren't the very last words. I think I have another, definitely at that ladies' meeting, and I'll be there. But I know I think I'm somewhere on the road or somewhere down in January as well. But these are last words, if you know what I mean. And last words are kind of important. It's those things, every parent knows about them, right? Because it's the last things that you're telling that you're telling the babysitter, and they're not actually listening as you're running out the house. And when the dog does this, and do that, and then sometimes the baby goes, he makes this little face, and then when he does that thing, you just got to give him one of these crackers, but not the other crackers. And you're saying all this as you're walking out the door. Last words. And to that parent, that's important stuff. And it would do well if that babysitter would actually listen. I don't know if they are, because normally they have given them those crackers when I said, I told you not to give them those crackers if they make that face. The other face, not that face. But there you go. So anyway, last words are important. So these are amongst my last words. And so they're the words that stay with us. They're the ones that settle in our hearts. And hopefully they're the ones that are going to stick with you and that you're going to remember, right? So if, let's just say this were the very last, okay, of the words as your pastor, right? It would be this. These would be the words, okay, as I'm running out the door, okay? And I'm not running out the door, but if I were, be strong and courageous and trust God. That's what I'd want to say. Be strong and courageous and trust God. And then I'm out the door. Be strong and courageous and trust God. You know, a few weeks ago, I was listening to just a playlist, had the things in my ears, doing the dishes, and a song came on. I didn't even realize it was on my playlist, or it just kind of appeared on there. And it's that song called You Make Me Brave. You ever hear it by Amanda Cook? It's a song put out by Bethel Music. You make me brave. I'm not going to sing it, okay? It'd be lousy. You make me brave. Hey, but putting it out there to the worship team, it's a good one. I don't know if you can use it as a worship song. But in that moment, can I just tell you, something gripped me. It's a song about how God calls us into deep places, into deep waters, right? And deep places of faith. But it's his presence that goes with us, and it takes the fear away. And that's what the premise of the song is about. But anyway, I heard this song, and obviously I'm in my own little zone with the things in my ears, and I'm weeping into my dishwater as I'm doing the dishes. And the Holy Spirit's touching my heart, because he doesn't care if I'm standing at the sink or if I'm standing at a bus stop or if I'm in church. I have a relationship with him, and when he wants to talk, he talks. And in that moment, he was whispering something. I don't know if he was whispering or if he was screaming it out loud, but it was loud inside my heart. And it was this. This is what I've been doing in you all these years. And I realized, you know, that God had been preparing me. He'd been stretching me. And boy, could I feel it. Growing me and making me brave and courageous. But the thing is, in all those moments, I didn't even know what he was doing. I didn't know he was doing that. I didn't know that each battle, each thing, each situation, I didn't know that that's what he was doing. You know, he was strengthening me. Every challenge, every pitfall, problem, circumstance, he was challenging me and growing me. And I learned to trust him during those times, and I was getting stronger. And I didn't even know it. I was in God's gym, and I didn't even know it, right? And here's what I want you to hear. He does this for all of us. That was not just a me thing. That's for all of us. God grows our courage because he knows each of us has a next step, a next season, and a next act of faith. He has that for every single one of us. I'm not alone up here, even though this is a biggie, right? Leaving your job and everything you know and going out into what God has called you to do. you know, and I know I look so young, but I'm not. And my husband's not. And older people don't do this kind of thing. Except in the Bible, they're all old, and God seems to be using all of them. So that's, whoo, good, thank God. Whoo, whoo, thank you, Lord. So he's been preparing my heart for what he's been calling me into. And for you, he's preparing you for your own God-designed next, whatever that might be. And he's been teaching, and he's been teaching on faith each week. We've been in the classroom of faith. We've been learning about Abraham and Joseph and about and all these men who just walked out in faith and did great and courageous things, right? Well, I want to build on that today by talking about the courage that faith demands. You know, faith in itself is an act of bravery. Anytime God asks us to step out of our comfort zone, it really does take courage. It really does. And if you're into titles, I'm calling this God's Encouragement is Our Courage. So I want to look at how the scripture shows this, okay? All right. So biblical courage starts with God, not us. Right? Natural courage is pretty much about us, isn't it? It's about what we can muster up. Oh, come on, you know, dig deep, you know? Now, I'm going to read Joshua 1, 8 through 9, okay? These are the words of God, all right? God speaking to Joshua, the leader who's just about to lead God's people into the promised land. It's about to happen, friends, in this moment. And this is what God is saying to Joshua. Okay? Here we go. This is his words. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. All right, let me just put just a little bit of context around this. Joshua was 80 years old. Okay, we read this and we don't realize he was 80 years old. So I'm like a teenager, all right, in the kingdom of God. God is leading him to lead a multitude of people into a land that is filled with hostility. That God said, but I've promised it to you, and I want you to go and do it. And don't be afraid. Be strong and courageous. I'm with you. And he's taking an 80-year-old man as the leader with all these people that he's got to lead into this land, and they're going to have to fight battles. Do you remember David and Goliath? Well, a lot of these folks in this land were Goliath's relatives, so they were giants. So he's calling this 80-year-old man, his people with him, to go in and be strong and courageous and fight battles, okay? So that's what he's calling him to do. So here was what God said to him, be strong. Let's look at what God was saying. Now, to the ancient Hebrew person of Joshua's time, right, in the scripture, strong didn't mean necessarily what it means for us today. It didn't mean be tough. Come on, be tough. Be tough. Come on, right? It didn't mean, come on, pull yourself together. Pull yourself together, man. Nope, didn't mean that. And strong wasn't about Joshua setting up his camera and getting over to the heavyweights, right, and going, okay, come on, you got a good angle on me there? Okay. And then doing heavy weights. That was not strong. Bless him, he was 80, although I think he was quite strong. But it was not about the big muscles or the gun show. It wasn't anything to do with the physical. To the Hebrew people who heard that command, be strong, this is what they were thinking. This is what the word means in the original Hebrew. Take firm hold of something strong. Grip it tightly with both hands. It suggests that what you are to grip and what you are to hold is something stable, something solid. Like, think about people who've been in terrible storms, right? Like the wind is just, what are you going to do? You're going to grab hold of something that's pretty solid and grounded, right? Like a tree or something like that. And you're just going to wrap your arms. both around it, both hands, and you are going to hold on to that thing for dear life. And that is what God is telling Joshua and the people to do. But the solid someone, not something, is him, is God. So that's what they understood when they heard be strong. Okay, how about be courageous? Now, to the people hearing this, courage meant, well, it was a description of a heart that is steady and settled, like calm waters. Not because it's a personality trait, oh, he's courageous. This one, he's a coward, but this one's courageous. Had nothing to do with personality trait, nothing. But it was because that person understood that God was with them. That is what brought the courage. That is what brought the strength. So let your heart be steady because I am with you. So if you put strong and courageous together, this is what God was saying, and this is how they understood it. Hold tightly to me and let me steady your heart because my presence with you is going to give you the courage you need for what I'm calling you to do. So it was all about, nothing about their own physical strength, nothing. It was all about God's presence with them. Okay, so there's a connection between God's word and courage. Okay, think of a little child, right, who's just taken their bike out for the first time without the training wheels, right? You know, the little things at the back that hold them steady. This is their first maiden voyage on the bike with no training wheels, and the parent is running behind, right, while they're all over the place, and it's wobbling everywhere, and this poor kid, you're thinking he's not going to make it. But the thing is, he's going, right? And that parent is screaming out encouragements. You can do this. I know you can do it. You're a very strong person. I've seen you do this. I've seen your balance is wonderful. And don't worry, because if you fall, I'm there to catch you. And that gives courage to that child to do something that he's really quite scared to do, right? What is encouragement? What is it? It's the act or words that strengthen someone's heart and helps them face something with greater courage, like what that parent was doing for that child. You know, and God says he will give you courage, but God gives his courage his way, okay? And that's how we have to receive God's courage, his way. What is his way? Well, let's look at Joshua 1:8 again. That scripture can be up there again. Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night. Study and meditate. Two things we hate. two things that we could never stand because we couldn't stand school, right? So, well, some of you, right? Well, even if you hated school, the scriptures aren't like your math book or that really boring novel that they made you read. It's not the same. Those are just books, but the Word of God isn't like any other book. You know, one tiny, small bit of the Bible, one verse even, if you take that and you begin to understand that one verse, let's say God is love, just that one little section, you begin to understand that, you begin to digest that by thinking it over, mulling it over, because that's what meditation is. It's just thinking it over, mulling it over. As you do that, your life can be transformed knowing God loves you. That's not going to happen with your math book, okay? Now, how is that possible? And I'll tell you why. Because Hebrews 4:12 tells us that the book, the words in this book are like no other. For the word of God is alive and powerful, and it's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword. It cuts between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow, and it exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. You know, there's an expression that says we shouldn't just read the Bible, but we need to let the Bible read us. Because as we read the Bible, it's alive. And it examines our hearts, it reveals what's in our hearts, and it has the ability to transform us, very unlike our maths book or that really lousy novel that they made you read. Also, the Bible tells us that these words, everything in this book reveals Jesus. John 1:14 tells us that the word became human and made his home among us. The words of God, Jesus, is this become human. This book has power because it reveals everything about Jesus. There is power and there is life in these words in this book. Now, a lot could be said about study and meditation. I don't have a lot of time, so I'm not going to get into it. But we need to keep it simple, okay? And that's okay. What you got to do is get an easy-to-understand Bible, okay? Very easy, that is in your language. You don't speak King James. Most of you don't anyway. So just get one that you can understand and don't read the hard parts to start with, okay? That's studying the Bible 101. Start with the book of John. It's a wonderful place to start. The Gospels. Begin there, and then you'll be ready to move on, okay? Also, come to church. Little funny thing about church, we talk about the Bible. We should do anyway, right? And you'll learn something. And lastly, this is a kind of a shameless plug here. Could you put up that picture of the nativity picture that I have there? It's coming up any minute now. Okay, me and Pastor Andy and I have, it's been a labor of love for many years. It's not up there yet, but it's coming. You got that picture back there somewhere? Yeah? Okay. We've been writing Breakfast of Champions for years now, and we have just started to renew them all. They're all going to be newly written. We've already begun. We've already begun an Advent edition. And you, get your phone out right now. Come on, get your phone out now. Because we want you to have this. It's free. And it's us encouraging you every morning with a scripture and a word. This whole edition right here, you know, at Christmas, we all love the baby in the manger. But did you know he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And he has got fire in his eyes and a sword in his mouth, and he is ready to trample on the enemy? That is who the baby is now. And that's what our Advent edition is about. And we want to encourage you with that every day. And we are writing all new ones. They are prayed over, and we've been praying that they hit the right eyes on the right day. So go ahead, feel free. You can take out your phone. I will not judge you, and you can sign up for breakfastofchampions.co.uk, and we would love to be part of helping you to grow in the Word. Okay. Anyway, so Joshua, studying and meditating on God's Word, was the encouragement of God that was going to help Joshua to be courageous. And it's not different for us. God's word is our encouragement as well. It tells you about God's heart towards you, which is love, about who you are in him, you are his child, about what he longs to give you, peace, joy, wholeness, victory, and a slew of other wonderful things. It tells you that you are not alone and you have the help of the Holy Spirit. It helps you see the character of God and everything of this God, so you don't have to make up who he is. It tells you who he is, and he's more powerful and wonderful and awesome than you could ever make up. And that's who he actually is. It's in there. And you learn about the sacrifice that he made for you so you can be part of his family. And when those truths, these encouragements of God, get root in your heart, that's when courage is born inside you. That's when it is born inside you. Okay, so courage comes from the word. There is a direct correlation. All right, courage also comes from getting personal, okay? Courage grows when we begin to get personal with God. How? What does that mean? Now, again, a lot could be said. I want to keep it simple, and simple is fine as long as it is from your heart, as long as you mean it. Everything about God, he wants it from your heart. Okay? He doesn't want you to do it because you have to. He wants you to do it because you love him. Okay? It's from the heart. Okay. So getting personal with God doesn't mean coming to him and being all impressive, praying prayers with big words and ye old English. He doesn't want that. It's what he wants is you coming to him, coming to a parent like a little child. This teaching is recorded four times in the Gospels, that we are to come to God like little children. And when the Bible repeats something again and again, it's a key. It's God telling you something. The way to his heart is to come like a little child. What does that look like? It means to talk to God honestly. And I tell you right now, no one is as honest as a child. If you have a child in your life, they'll look at you and be like, "You're ugly." Well, thank you, sweetheart. Oh, I have a vague memory. It's so funny. I think it might have been my son when he was like about 4 years old, my son Ethan. I just remember coming down in an outfit, and he started to cry. It was not nothing weird. Or, and he started to cry, and I said, what's wrong? He said, I hate your outfit. And he got really emotional about it. And I said, what's wrong with my outfit? And he said, I hate it. It's so ugly. I said, okay, fashion police. I don't know if I changed it or not. It happened a long time ago. He's like, you know. But they're honest. Come to God with honesty. Open his word. Remember that easy Bible that I told you to get? Nice and easy? Well, open it and expect him to speak to you. Children have every expectation that their dad's going to talk to them if he's a good dad. Kids just don't have the same kind of, they don't overthink things like adults, you know? I personally can overthink something to death. I really can. I can make the most simple thing and just into the most difficult thing, and God really helps me with that. But we don't need to do that. If you talk to God and you go to the Bible with expectation that he's going to talk to you, he's going to talk to you, okay? And with childlike wonder and expectation, we need to watch for the little ways that he wants to encourage us. And I'm going to give you a couple of examples of that in a second. They're personal to me, but I want to share them with you. Now, here's where things get fun, okay? When you get personal with God, he is going to get personal with you. And there's this scripture. I love this scripture. James 4:8, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Now, in the Greek, because this is in the New Testament is in Greek, that come near is not a casual thing. It's intentional and purposefully moving towards someone or something. It's with intention and it's with purpose that you are moving towards something. So it says, if you read that with that understanding, which the first hearers of this would have had, it's as you purposely and intentionally move toward God, he purposely and intentionally moves toward you. Now, you know what this makes me think of? The parable of the prodigal son. You know that story about the son who said, give me my inheritance, Dad. And then he takes all the money and he goes off and he squanders it and he ruins his life and he comes back. And when he's afar off, it says, the father saw him, had been waiting for him. And he doesn't wait for the son to even come down the road. The father lifts up his robes and he runs, undignified. Because fathers didn't do that. Now, let me tell you, as Westerners, we misunderstand the prodigal son. And many theologians have said the emphasis was never to the original hearers about the son. It was about the father. They said it should be renamed the running father. Isn't that beautiful? And Jesus told that story because he wanted us to understand something about the nature of the Father, is that it doesn't take much encouragement, and he will totally become undignified for you. And he will lift his skirts up, his robes, and he will allow. That would have been like, what? Oh, the people who heard this were like, God would do that? And he will run at even the hints of his child coming toward him. The running father. Now, as I said earlier, we should watch in little ways with wonder as he encourages us, the little encouragements that we get in the day. Here's just a couple of examples. They're my personal examples. And let me just tell you that in this day of AI, which let me tell you, I think Smudge could attest to this because he's very good with the computer. And I have asked him before help with computer. He knows what an idiot I am. When it comes to, I mean, he's kind and he wouldn't say that. But I know that with things like AI and all that, this is not AI. But even if you think, oh, that's AI, right? It's not AI. Let me just tell you that. This really happened. I know because I was there when it happened. And it was personal for me. And I want to share it with you. God is going to do things for you, too. That's what I'm going to pray at the end of this. But let me say, I call this one the tree story. So if we could put the picture up, because I know it might take you a minute, so while I'm telling the story. All right. There was a night, right? This was a while back. And I woke up wee hours of the morning, 4 o'clock. Not unusual for me. I am a morning person, but that's a little bit crazy morning, okay, 4 o'clock in the morning. And I woke up with a scripture on my heart. And all I had was a piece of it, and it was this, 2 Corinthians 9:8. And it was this, and God is able, and I heard this in my head, like it was in my dreams almost, in that twilight area of sleep, you know, where, and it was bothering me. And God is able to bless you abundantly in all things, all, and I couldn't think of the rest of it, right? And you'd think, who cares, right? Just go back to sleep. Look at it up in the morning. I couldn't. It was like a pebble in my shoe, but it was in my brain. And I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop thinking about this. And I was like, and I was so annoyed. And I got up and I went downstairs and I had to look it up, right? This is not normal for me, but I had to look it up. And it was this verse. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So I was thinking about it and mulling it over in my head and reading the chapter and reading it in context, because I'm a little bit of a nerd that way and I like to do that. And I just was reading it and it was blessing my heart, right? Where's the picture? Can I see the tree picture? Please, please. Oh, okay. Look up in the corner on the tops of the trees. It might be hard for you to see, but when the light of day came out, you might be able to make it out in the left-hand corner. I'm looking out the window after this wonderful time with Jesus, drinking this coffee, right? And this whole all things at all times, having all that you need. Because Andy and I were believing for some finances and things to come in for some ministry things that we wanted to do. And, you know, and up in the corner in the trees, it says all. I didn't make that. Do you see it? Do you see it? If you can't see it, I'll post it later on the Andy and Gina Instagram page or one of them. I'll put it on both, and you can have a better look at it. It says all. Now, I'm looking out there thinking I'm having some kind of episode, right? And I said, Andy, get over here, quick. I made him look up in the trees. I said, it says all. Now, he hadn't had the experience that I had. He went, oh, yeah, look at that. I said, I got to get a picture of this. So I took a picture, and this happened a couple of years ago, and it's never done that again. Those trees never did that ever again. Now, it could be a coincidence, right? Except that I woke up that morning and God wanted to talk to me personally because I had been praying and believing and saying, God, we need. And so he gets up and he was so excited to wake me up that he was like, wake up, wake up, wake up. And there I was looking up the scripture and there it is. Oh, now, it might not mean anything to you, but I knew the Father was talking to me. I knew the Father was talking to me. If you don't see it, that's okay. I'm really bad at those things, too, you know, when they, but it's up, right, oh, there it is, woo, A-L-L. I was like, I tell you, I fell to my knees, and I was humbled. And I said, God, you're amazing. You know, a sign and a wonder? That was a wonder. I was like, I'm still wondering. I'm like, I don't know. You know, it's not one of those things you can tell people. I saw all in the trees. I'm really putting myself out a limb here right now, okay? All right, second story. This one we call the letter story. Now, recently, very recently, I was in America. And my daughter is looking at all universities all over the UK, and we were looking at American ones as well. We went on a tour of an American university, one of the universities in America. Now, strange thing happened. I was at this, and we were in a big group of parents and kids. It was a beautiful place. It was stunning. And it costs insane, by the way, but that's not even the point. I was walking on the tour, right? We were doing the tour, and I don't know why. The devil is also a pain in the butt, isn't he? And he picks his moments. Now, obviously, we're in this transition time, which there's a lot of questions, and hey, God, are you going to provide? Hey, God, are you going to make opportunities? Hey, God, are you? Well, anyway, for the most part, I've been in a good place in faith, really feeling the courage of God to step out and do those things. I do not know what happened. I was with my daughter-in-law, Isabel. It was just us and Christina. And Christina went off, and she went to go look at the program that she was involved with all the students. Now, I'm walking around, right? All of a sudden, this dread comes over to me, absolute dread, like a cold sweat, dread. I felt nauseous. I felt like, oh, my, what the heck am I doing? I'm leaving a comfortable position and a job and what do we, God, do you even have anything for us? I'm old, and people who are old don't do this. And you know what it was exactly like? It was like when Peter stepped out of the boat and he was walking on water, then he looked at the wind and the waves, and I said to my daughter-in-law, Isabel, I said, I need to come away from these people. There's too many people here. Let's can we just go where there was nobody, right? So we grabbed our coffee and we went away where there was nobody, because I said, she goes, are you okay? Are you all right? I said, no, I'm going to go throw up. and I said, but wait, I'll be okay. I said, I just need to get me a paper bag. I need to breathe, right? It was life. It just, that moment chose to remind me that I'm walking on very thin ground, right? When we're walking on faith, we are walking on water, right? So I don't know. I'd been fine up till that moment. And I said, I'm scared. I said this to my daughter-in-law. I said, I'm really scared. I said, I don't know. I said, I feel like God is not going to support us. And then I stopped. And I looked at my daughter, Isabel. We were away from everybody. We were like in the forest part. There was nobody. There was a little table, just a little table that, like, I don't even know why that table was there. I don't think there were any chairs or anything. It was weird. And I said to my daughter-in-law, I said, I have no right to be scared. I said, God's been so faithful to me. I have an absolute packet of promises from God, things like the all, and not just that, but if I had like a 2-hour time slot, which I don't, and I'm not going to, don't be scared, I could tell you story after story after story, and you'd be like, wow, that's weird, wow, that's amazing, wow, this has been going on since I'm 9 years old, okay? I have many stories. I just chose two that I could, you know, show you, because I have like physical evidence. It's not just in my, you know, as a story, but I said to her, and then I just started, I still felt a little weird, you know, like not great, but I said, I have no right. I have absolutely no right. And I saw out of the corner of my eye, in this table, there were cracks, a piece of paper shoved into the crack, right? And I said, listen, Isabel. And I laughed. I said, it wouldn't shock me if that was a letter from God for me, right? And we laughed. We were laughing. And she went over and said, well, let's go see. So she pulls it out. Can I have the picture, please? All right. Because you got to see it. Hey, I just wanted to say you're doing great. Stop pressuring yourself. You have support. Let yourself be guided. Love you. I just started to cry. What did God do? What did he have to do to get that paper in that place for me at that moment when I was having a bad day, a bad moment? It's like he knew it before time, and he was like, hey, angel, go stick a letter in there. And this was a university campus. That could have said anything. Just saying. Just saying, okay? You know, it could have been a tirade of, like, well, you know. And this is where that was like Jesus. You know, like Peter walking on the water starts drowning, and then Jesus puts his hand and pulls Peter up. That was me at that moment. I felt what, you know what came over me at that very moment? Peace, joy. I was walking on the water again, but with Jesus. Look, he said, don't take your eyes off me, silly sausage. Don't do it. You know what happens. I can't keep putting notes around. Come on, Gina. He could, and he did. And I have faith that he'll do it again whenever, you know? And that makes me think of what I said earlier, Psalm 8:4. What are mere mortals that you should think about them? Human beings that you should care for them. Who are we? But he loves us. But he loves us. One last little story. I am out of time, okay? But for this one, just I have to share. It just came to me right now. It's almost silly. But again, it's personal. It's for me. It's the little ways he shows me that he cares. I am seen. I am heard. And so are you, okay? Now, I know this is silly, but this is God, and he's good, and he loves us, okay? You're talking to someone. I am now studying for my PhD in theology, okay? So you're talking to someone who doesn't tend to be a silly sausage. But when it comes to Jesus, he's not about books and paper and studying, and he's real. And I love studying about him in the books and the paper. But the thing is, these things might seem silly, but they are to me things that God does personally for me because I come to him as a child. Because I'm personal with him, he gets personal with me. Okay, so about a month ago, I have a favorite pair of earrings. I just do. I wear them all the time. I love them, right? And they've been missing for a month. A month, all right? This morning, I put on this outfit, and I said, oh, Jesus, I would have loved to wear those earrings. I'll wear these fledgling earrings. I said, but I really would just a silly little thought. I would have loved to wear those earrings today. God, could you just help me find them? I said that this morning. All right, I'm in worship and praise. I'm worshiping. I was giving it my all. Like, I didn't know if I was going to be okay when I got up here. I thought, I'm going to be too tired because I am really pressing in here because I felt like the heavens were open and that, like, I was worshiping King Jesus. And as I'm doing that, I stick my hand in my pocket, and there's the earrings. And I said, you got me. You got me again. You're good. He is good. He is good, and he does care. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. That is God's encouragement for you. He loves you. He loves you. He gave his only son for you. He cares for you, and he wants to get personal with you. So, I know you wouldn't believe it. The time's gone now, okay? So my final words, amongst my final words, are be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. You know how to do it. Trust God. Let him make you brave. Let him make you courageous. Don't go into whatever it is you're going into next scared and afraid. You don't have to. He is with you. It is his promise. It is his encouragement. I will never, and that scripture actually was written, I will never, ever, ever leave you. I will never, ever, ever forsake you. That is originally how it was written. Remember what I said about repetition? He wants you to know he is with you. He wants you to be courageous knowing he is with you. He needs you to be courageous in these last days. God still calls people like Joshua, like David, like Esther's, like Daniel's, like Elijah's, like Mary's, and Paul's, and the disciples. People who are going to be willing to step out with courage, because you know God's with you, and you're holding tightly with both hands to God in faith. And with every one of those names I named there, and almost every person in the Bible who did anything for God that was courageous and whatever, that it cost them something. They didn't hold on to comfort. They held on to God. They held on to God, and he met them with courage every single time. Ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the boys in the fire. He met them in the fire. He will meet you in the fire. He will meet you in the fire. Well, I'm done now, but what I want to do right now is I want everyone to close their eyes and bow their head. I'm going to ask a question. Now, like I said, these were some personal things for me, and you can believe me or not believe me with my pictures and whatever. Maybe I'm just good at, you know, convincing people of things I saw, or maybe not. It is real. I can tell you, I was there. God is real, and he really loves you. It's real. And you can really have a relationship with him and really get personal with him, and he can really get personal with you. Now, every eye is closed and every head is bowed. Is there anyone in this room who wants to know that God, who wants to know Jesus and have a personal relationship with him, the God who loves them? If so, could I see your hand? No one's looking around, just me. Nice high up hands. I see hands. That's beautiful. I see hands. Does anyone want to know this God who is amazingly in love with you? I see those hands. Nice and high. Nice and high. Yeah. You can put your hands down now. That's amazing. Okay. We're going to pray now. Everyone repeat this prayer after me. This is the prayer of asking that God, asking God, Jesus, to come into your life. Just Repeat after me. Dear Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he died on the cross for me. I'm sorry for my sins. Please wash them clean. And Jesus, come into my life. And I want it personal. And I want to know you, God, like that lady up there knows you. Actually, I want to know you even better. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can lift your heads. That was the best decision you could ever make. Now listen, guys, this is amongst the last words now that I'm going to say to you guys. And so, yeah, it makes me a little sad, but also I'm excited about my future and about your future, about my next and about your next. And you can go into it filled with courage. So I'm just going to bless you now, and then you have a wonderful week. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.